Amen. How to trust him. How to trust him. How to trust him. That passage, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, I gave you that story last Wednesday. Two birds. I think I called one Fred and one Jerry. Fred standing on a firm branch. Jerry standing on a shaky branch. Fred says to Jerry, how can you stand on that shaky branch? And Jerry says, I'm standing on this shaky branch because my confidence is in my wings and not my branch. That's in essence, I wish it was a parable that Jesus told. In essence, that's what Solomon is saying here. It's what the word communicates to us, that you're going to have shaky moments in your life. I want to talk to somebody tonight. Somebody who's going through something. Somebody who's saying, well, why is this happening? Why is my child sick? Why have I lost my job? Why do I have to file for unemployment? Why did this person betray me? Why is life so inconsistent? Why are people so inconsistent? Why is the world so inconsistent? I'm a human being. I need consistency. Why is that so inconsistent? If Christ is the solid rock, then why does it seem that this solid rock is built on the inconsistency of humanity? That is our reality. God has given us free will. He's given us free choice. And that free will and that free choice has an impact on the consistency that we all deal with. And every one of us has to deal with inconsistency. Every one of us has to deal with the imperfection of man. And a part of what this is about a relationship, an imperfect man having a relationship with a perfect God. My God, I know I'm just live free. You'll have to forgive my editors and the folks running this because it's just live freestyle. And Jarrell, you think you guys can get that on there live? That we're talking about a perfect God in relationship with an imperfect man. A perfect God in relationship with an imperfect man. I'll say it one more time in case he couldn't get it up there. A perfect God in relationship with an imperfect man. It's what the Lord desires. He didn't fill the earth with angels. He filled the earth with people who have choices and free will and people that make mistakes and people that need his grace. My God, people who are glad his grace is sufficient. Anybody come to grips with their humanity? Somebody asked me, are you saved, Pastor Andy? I said, I'm as saved as everybody in this Bible. How about that? Woo, my God. Some woman said to me, I just wish my husband could be saved. I said, well, saved as who? Who you want your man to be saved as? I don't know. Maybe the Bible don't have a whole lot of women in it because women are just, maybe the bar is just so high. Women are just at a whole nother level. But there's some evil women in the Bible though. But man, the truth of the matter is you want your husband to be saved. As saved as who? As saved as David? as saved as who? As saved as Samson? My God. Can I be as saved as Samson? Can I be as saved as David, a man after God's own heart? Can I be as saved as Moses, who never got to see the promised land? Can I be as saved as Jeremiah? Can I be as saved as Jonah? Can I be as saved as Adam? Oh, that's all Old Testament. That's all Old Testament. Well, okay. Can I be as saved as Peter? Can I be as saved as Paul? Can I be as saved as Doubting Thomas? I feel like the Apostle Paul just takes salvation to this whole other level, and it's a wonderful bar to jump over. But for all of us who have come to grips with our humanity, and I think a part of the problem is, especially for those of us who raise holiness, we were raised almost with an impossible standard. We were raised almost more to deny our flesh than manage it. Jesus, that's what we were taught. You were taught to deny your flesh. I was taught to deny my flesh. And I know it's what Paul talked about. I get it. I feel it. But I also understand that a part of the way that I deny my flesh is to manage my flesh. Nah, I'm not even. I mean, Pastor Andy, I thought you was ministering on Proverbs on how to trust him. I know, I'm sorry, but I feel the Holy Ghost. You know how I deny my flesh? I manage it. That's how I deny it. I manage it. How do I keep from eating Snickers bars? Well, every now and then I eat one. But how do I keep myself from eating one? Well, I have to find a healthy choice. If I let myself get hungry enough, I'll eat Cheez-Its and a Coke if I'm hungry enough. Go, come on. If I get hungry enough, I'll scarf down a burger from it. Let me get hungry enough. A quarter pounder with cheese will just do just fine. Supersize me, whatever. Let me get hungry enough. I'll eat pork rinds if I'm hungry enough. So my hunger appetite has to be managed. Woo. That's the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's the Holy Ghost. That my flesh has to be managed. We were taught by a generation who told us deny, 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 deny. The problem is that if you deny your flesh too much, it'll rebel. It'll break out on you. Nobody's so saved they don't need to eat. And so, for all of us who have come to grips with our humanity, we realize that we need grace. Woo, God. We need favor. We need grace from God and man. We need the blood of Jesus. For all of you who are disappointed in whatever preacher has disappointed you, whatever man has let you down, I'm so sorry. I want to do my best never to let you down. Whatever, whoever preacher, whoever comedian, whoever person, whoever business, whoever, just because they talented don't mean they perfect. Just because they're gifted don't mean they're perfect. Just because they can dunk a basketball don't mean they're perfect. Just because somebody can hit a golf ball 500 yards don't mean they're perfect. Just because they marry someone beautiful doesn't mean that they're perfect. Just because they marry someone handsome don't mean they're perfect. Come on now. People are flawed. And this book is about a perfect God in relationship with imperfect people. Can I get a witness from the imperfect people? Can somebody who's honest with themselves, can they admit that even when you would do good, evil is present? Can you admit that you may not do evil, but you want to? Can you admit that you may not commit adultery, but you want to sleep with somebody else? Can you admit it? Can you admit you don't steal, but you kind of want? Can you admit you don't cuss, but you want to? Can you admit you don't slap folk, but you wish you could? Can you admit you don't murder, but if there was a purge night, people would be in trouble? Can you admit that? Maybe that's just for the gray heads. Maybe that's just for the folk. Can I talk to somebody tonight? Maybe that's just for the people that got some gray on them now that have come to grips with the truth that I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. And ain't enough praying you can do to not need him. Ain't enough fasting you can do to not need him. You will always need the grace of God. You will always need the mercy of God. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Only but so much perfection you ought to expect out of any human being. I'm so excited. Kamala's in the White House, and I don't know what to do with myself, but I know she ain't perfect. Some of you are thinking, oh, I'm watching Pastor Andy. Finally, a man of God who lives what he says. No doubt about it. You got it, baby, but I'm not perfect. I'd like to be as saved as the people in the Bible. Is that okay? Is that all right with you? Can I be as saved as the men in the Bible? What kind of man you looking for? Well, Pastor Andy, I'm looking for a man who worships God every morning and walks around singing and cries on his knees before the Lord and weeps at the altar and raises holy hands and worships. Is this a man? I mean, listen, what I'm saying is, can the man be as saved as people in the Bible? Can she be as saved as, can Proverbs 31 be the highest? Can it be the most? Can you find somebody human? I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, don't come to World Overcomers then, because we make mistakes, we're flawed. It's happened. People attend the church, start going. We put an ad in the bulletin for them to work there. And the minute they step behind the curtain, all of a sudden they start feeling some kind of way. Believe me, beloved, there's a big difference between your favorite restaurant, the floor, and what's going on in that kitchen. Oh, it's just so wonderful, and it's so calm, and it's so peaceful, and it's so quiet, and the music and the atmosphere is just so wonderful. That's the dining room, baby. You go back in that kitchen with that main chef, I bet you he may be in there cussing people out. Because what it takes to get the work done, what it takes to break them eggs, what it takes to cook that steak, that takes some work. And where there's work, there's humans, and where there's humans, there's imperfection. Man, 18 minutes. Let me get back to my point, but this was good. My God, this ministered to me. Lord, I thank you. Because there was a time when I thought my perfection guaranteed success. Ooh, I'm messing with all the holiness people. And I can, because I was raised holiness. Raised strict holiness. Raised with guilt every week. I went to the altar multiple times. Multiple times. I know I'm not the only one. Saved. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I thought of myself as a wretch. I got down on my knees every night and said, nah, lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord, my soul to keep. Scared to die at 6. It's ridiculous. Scared to bust hell wide open at 9. What a ridiculous way to be raised. What a ridiculous perspective to have about God. As if we know him. Not raising my children that way. I'm not raising my children to fear every fleshly inkling they have as somehow corrupt. Not how I've raised them. And part of the reason why I didn't do it is because I went to school with people that were raised that way. I went to church with kids who were raised that way. I saw PKs that are raised that way. They're the biggest devils you ever met. Because everybody needs grace. Raised around Holy Ghost church snobs who are supposed to be holy and broke as a joke. My God, help me, Holy Ghost. I came to the understanding. I got so sick and tired and annoyed at people who were supposedly less holy than me, as if I was holy. I'd get so mad. I was such a hater. I realized maybe the reason why there was a blessing in their life, even though there was a flaw I could see, was because of Proverbs chapter 3. Maybe they were trusting in the Lord with all their heart and leaning not on their own understanding. Maybe they had less confidence in the flesh. Maybe all of us Holy Ghost, maybe all of us holy folk, maybe a part of the reason why we so broke and why our buildings are so nasty is because we feel like we better because we holy. And we have too much confidence in our flesh, too much confidence in our fasting, too much confidence in what we do, as if our righteousness is not filthy rags. My God, Pastor Eddie, what's wrong with you? I don't know. I know I'm sick of my own self-righteousness. I know that my own self-righteousness has caused me more pain than almost anything. He says, look, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, submit to him. He'll make your path straight. He knows the way that you're formed. He knows you have an appetite. He knows that. He gave it to you. So glad I'm not in a relationship with a God that requires perfection from me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Less than 15 minutes. Let me give this to you really quickly because it's in the Word. I know I'm blessing somebody tonight. I want to talk to somebody tonight.
I want to encourage you. Someone who you feel like your blessings or your favor are based on your behavior.
I was talking to a young man in my congregation, and he's just, I mean, we text on Facebook sometimes, and he's, you know, he's so afraid that divorce is going to make him lose his favor. I'm saying, son, I thought it was favor. Look, there's some folk, you don't even have to like them. There's favor on them. There's folk who don't like me. Sorry, there's favor. Favor. And I'm far from perfect. Call First Lady. She won't tell you my business because she loved me, but I'm far from perfect. If I ever upheld some kind of image as if I was perfect, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. It was a mistake. Because perfection is not a guarantee of success. Some of the most successful people you ever have met are as flawed as anything. As a matter of fact, the flaw is what made them say, I need Jesus. I need the Lord in my life. I need his hand on me. Lord, I need you to send fire down on this thing. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I want you to lean out to your own human discernment. I dealt with it last Wednesday, and it's there in the archives. You can look at it. In all your ways, submit to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, just at least say, all right, Lord, remember that you're his. He'll make your path straight. How do you do that? How does that? How do I trust in the Lord with all my heart? How do I lean out to my own understanding? Give me some practical things. All right, well, I see it right here in Proverbs chapter 3. And it's a blessing to me. And I'm going to give them to you. It's in the notes. I mean, it's in the Bible. And so I hope my team will be able to throw it up there. But the first thing he says in verse 7 is, all right, so do not be wise in your own eyes. Ooh. I could preach a sermon just on that. I could spend the rest of the time. I could spend the next 12 minutes just on that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you're so smart, can't nobody tell you nothing. Your own eyes isn't just your own brain, but your own eyes is your generational perspective. Don't only hear your generation. I was having a conversation with a young person, someone in their 30s, and actually they saw me on a television program or saw an interview with me, and they asked could they speak to me, and we talked for a little bit, and they said to me, when you're in your situation, you can't see it. They said, it's interesting to see my world through someone else's eyes that has wisdom. It's very profound. It's interesting to see my world through another's eyes who has wisdom. Most of us don't allow that to happen. We don't want to talk to nobody with gray hair. We don't want to talk to nobody older than us. We don't want to talk to nobody richer than us. We don't want to talk to anybody more successful than us. We just want to hate. We don't want to talk to anybody with a bigger church. We don't want to talk to anybody with a bigger business. We don't want to talk to anybody with a bigger bank account. We don't want to talk to anybody with a better marriage. We don't want to talk to anybody with better kids. Well, I'm going to raise my kids to be more independent. No. Your problem is you can't control your children. You can't control their mouth. And so you've decided to make it an excuse for why your children are now going to be disobedient. And you don't want to have a conversation with someone who maybe knows what they're doing and you don't. Do you want to trust in the Lord? Stop thinking you're so smart. Stop being so wise in your own eyes. Stop thinking you have something to say. I was having a conversation with a young preacher the other day. And he said to me, Pastor Andy, you just make it look so easy. I said, well, it's not easy. Please get it. It's not easy. It looks easy, but it's not easy. But you don't see all the work that went into this. You didn't see the study.
You didn't see me at the library every Wednesday when I wasn't preaching when I was 18, 19, and 20. So many young dudes are so quick. They want to get up and preach so quick and don't know the Bible and don't have nothing to say. All your gifting and anointing won't make up for your absolute lack of content. Why do you think you're so smart? Solomon said, look, don't be wise in your own eyes. Meaning if you feel wise, let it be because someone said, now that's some wisdom. Somebody that you respect, somebody with some money, somebody with some land, somebody with some property, somebody with some family. I'm amazed that some of the people that want to talk about money ain't got family to first, ain't got child to first, want to tell everybody how to handle their money and ain't got no children. There's something about being a man with family. There's something about the consistency of it. Stop being so smart in your own eyes. Fear God. Shun evil. Now, for most of us, help us, Lord Jesus. For most of us, shun evil. To shun evil. Avoid evil. The Bible says avoid all kinds of evil. Most of us, the way that we were raised to shun evil or avoid evil was to never be around any evil. But you can't shun evil if you're never around none. There are many of you, you work in a world where there's evil. You work with people that are evil. You're in a culture of people that are evil. Many of you are in a generation being raised by a generation that's evil. Their attitudes of their heart are evil. That now you got something to shun. Now you have something to avoid. Fear God. How do I trust in the Lord? Fear him. Avoid evil. He says, here's a promise. I throw a promise on it for you. He says, this is going to bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. That may not matter to you when you're young, but it matters to you when you get older. You want your bones strong. You want some nourishment to your health. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. That's how you do it. That's how you acknowledge him. That's how you trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're not wise in your own eyes. You fear God. That's your second thing. You're not wise. You don't look at yourself and think you're smart. You don't pat yourself on the back. You don't think you always know what you're talking about. You're able to be approached. You're able to be confronted. You're able to listen. Some of you are in the predicament you're in because you don't listen. Some of the worst mistakes I ever have made in my life happened because I didn't listen. I was talking to my bishop the other day, and I said to him, I said, the problem was that you said something to me, and I took that as counsel instead of a command. He said, I know, son, I know. I said, no, Bishop, I'm sorry. Because I thought you were giving me advice. But I should have took it as authority. Some of us, you're so wise in your own eyes, you just want advice. I'm telling young people, I'm not giving you advice. You come to me when you don't know what to do. Don't call me when you don't know what to do. Because your generation is full of people that just want to pick a little here and pick a little there and pick a little there. And you're no closer to your goal because you eat from too many pies. You're too many cooks involved with you. And you're not submitted to anyone's authority. Can't nobody really tell you nothing. And if somebody tells you something too hard, you just bounce. I know you're thinking, man, somebody done made PA upset today. No, I'm just commenting on what the word. I'm just giving you my perspective at this point, this gray-haired perspective on what Solomon is saying. Clearly, he's saying there's some of you that think you're too smart. Clearly, there's some of you don't have enough fear for God. Some of you, you're allowing evil to trap you too much.
Then he says in verse 9, I want you to honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Ooh, I know many of you are like, oh, I knew that preacher was going to get to this verse. Oh, yes, I am. He's saying, what I want you to do is I want you to tie your wealth to kingdom. Stop treating kingdom as if it's just another bill you have. Tie your wealth to it. Tie your financial success to kingdom ministry. Tie your financial success to somebody that God is using prophetically. Tie your financial success to someone who has a vision that's going to impact somebody else besides just you. The worst thing that can ever happen to you with your money is for you to make it all about yourself. That's the beginning of the end. You can't keep money by holding on to it. You have to be generous, because the same spirit that causes generosity is the same spirit that brings faith to invest. The minute somebody stops investing, they're in trouble. It usually coincides with the minute they stop being generous. If you find somebody who loses their spirit of generosity, and eventually you will see somebody who's out of business. Because the same faith that it takes to invest in a product is the same faith that it takes to believe in a person. Ooh, Lord. He says, listen, honor the Lord with your wealth now. Don't get money and don't honor God with it. Don't be blessed and not give God his first fruit. Just go ahead and set aside what belongs to God. The first fruits concept is just so difficult for us to understand because we don't really live in an agricultural moment anymore. But anyone who had a harvest always set aside seed for more. Anyone. The dumbest thing anyone can ever do in agriculture is to eat all of their seed. The dumbest thing that you can ever do is kill all of your meat. You don't kill all of it. You keep the best ones. You keep the strongest ones so that you can breed them so you can have more. You don't eat all of your pigs. Well, children of Israel is not supposed to be eating pigs. But you don't eat all of your goats. You don't eat all of your sheep. You kill the fattened calf, but you got to have some other ones around to birth and make more. You don't kill them all. You don't take a harvest and eat all of it. You set the first fruits of it aside so that you can replant. So the Lord says, tell you what. Yeah. I want you to take a tenth. I want you to take a part of your first fruit. I want you to give it to me. I want you to trust me. I want you to believe that I will restore that to you. I want you to believe that I'm such a blessing in your life that you can't lose as long as I'm on your side. I was having a conversation with some young men, just trying to teach men how to be men in a world in which we're so hard on masculinity. So upset about men being men, but I think there's something to be said about men being men. I think there's something to be said about men being generous. And I think there's something to be said about men opening doors. And I think there's something to be said about men being real. And I was talking to a young man and I was saying to him, it was an article that I read or something that I saw, some education that I received, that a part of the reason why men give flowers is because it ties into the idea that I have so much that I can give you something that is going to die. Ooh, Lord. I'm such a good hunter. I can bring you meat because I can always get more. And that meat will spoil, but that's okay because that's the kind of baller I am. I'm balling at such a level that I can get, that I have income enough to spend it on something that ain't even gonna live. Now that's a man. I'm sorry, that's a man. I know there are many of you in countries. I was in Ghana and they told me, oh, they don't give flowers. Women want something that will last. I get that, but you're missing the point. The point of giving you something that's going to die is to say to you, yeah, but that's the kind of man I am. The reason why you give a big diamond is because you're trying everybody to see. Everybody's supposed to know you. That's how you got it, boy. You got it like that. You got it at a level where you can give somebody a stone that glistens that don't do nothing but glisten. It ain't worth nothing but just a glisten. That's how you balling. You're saying to the woman, yeah, that's right. That's how I'm balling. Don't let her buy the ring. Buy your own ring. It represents you. Don't even let her pick it. Oh, no, I'm getting in trouble now. I don't even think she should pick it. I think you should pick it. I think you should like it. It's your ring. It represents you. I'm talking to men right now. You've been raised too much by your mama. A man will tell you, pick your own ring. It's you. It represents you. Get an idea of what she likes, but you better like it. I wouldn't give a woman a ring I don't like. And if she don't like your ring, she must not like you. She's so much about the ring that she's upset about it. You might need to rethink that. Well, I wanted rose gold with 8 stones. Well, I guess you don't like me because I like this. And it's supposed to be me. Lord, how did I get into that? What I'm saying to you is that when the Lord says, well, I tell you what, I want you to give me your first fruit. I know you set aside a first fruit to replant. But I want you to give me the first. I want you to give me the best. Ooh, God. Don't bring me no crippled animals in here. Give me the best and watch and see if I won't make your barns overflow. Fill your vats with new wine. My God, I'm going to leave that new wine thing alone. Help us, Jesus. Because I was raised strict holiness and alcohol was supposed to be of the devil, but I've learned, anyway, that what I'm saying to you is, he's saying that the Lord is saying, if you show me that you trust me, if you show me that you ain't tripping about that first 100 from your 1,000, man, I'll bless you in such a way, I'll make that overflow. I'll take your second 100 and make that another 10th. It'll overflow. Just trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. God, I'm just praying right now. Somebody to be blessed. Somebody to be committed. Somebody to be real. God, I know I've covered all kinds of stuff tonight. My God, somebody's trying to be a man. Let him be a man. God, let it be okay for men to be men. Let it be all right again, God, for men to be masculine. Let it be all right again, God, for men to lead. Oh, God, have your way in this topsy-turvy world we're living in, this crazy moment, particularly in America. God, I pray that men can lead in and that families can be restored and that we can trust you. God, I pray you'll deliver us from our own hubris, from our own confidence and our own perspective. God, help us not to be so wise in our own eyes that we can't grow and find wisdom. May we seek wisdom in the Word. May we seek wisdom in the Scriptures. May we seek wisdom from the teacher. May we seek wisdom from some prophets. May we seek wisdom from the Spirit. May we be connected to you. May God, we connect our wealth with you. May our confidence come from that. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. So glad you're with us tonight. We want to see you again. I know I'm over. God bless you. I want to see you again. Let us know. At any time, at any moment during this, you could have given. And I want to make sure that you're giving. But you want to be faithful because God is faithful.